appreciate that, Brother Poplin. I'm telling you, as that song says, it's getting closer to dark. Days are drawing nigh. As we preached last Sunday, the Lord is a-coming. And one of these days is going to be gathered around that place together. I hope you're ready, really do. And take your Bibles with us this morning to the book of John, John chapter 6. A few weeks ago, we preached a message on truth about hell. And then last Sunday, we preached on that truth of He is coming again. And the Bible tells us that we need to abide until He comes. And to be honest with you, church, I'm worried. I really am. I might not be the right terminology or the right way to put it, but I am concerned about things of our day. I'm concerned about direction of churches, even our own church. It's easy sometimes to allow things to creep in. We allow our children a little rope, and before you know it, they'll take a lot of rope, just like you would. And if we're not careful, if the Lord doesn't come back in 20, 30, 40, 50, 100 years, I'm concerned about, are we training, are we bringing up folks that's going to take a hold of the reins here at Gospel Light in such a way that, the truth will continue tomorrow. I'm not worried about the Word of God. God takes care of that. Not worried about the Spirit of God. I know God takes care of that. But God has commanded us to teach and to train, and I want to make sure we're doing the best that we can. I know I failed tremendously, and I'm sure if you'd be honest, you'd say that for yourself. But we want to look at something this morning that I believe that we have grown accustomed not to do. And I want to maybe hopefully help us this morning to get back into the habit of doing what God has commanded us to do and to continue to do that in the days ahead. John chapter 6. John chapter 6, if you found your place and you can, let's stand together out of honor and reverence to the Word of God. John chapter 6 this morning, we'll begin reading in verse number 15 this morning. John 6, verse 15. John 6, of course, that great chapter. We know that God does a great miracle there when He feeds those 5,000 there with the five loaves of bread and the two fishes there. And can I just say this? I was reading and studying back through this, and I've never thought this before, but we know that, the Lord tells Philip there in verse number 7, this is just totally something different, just throw it out here at you. The Lord says, hey, we're going to feed these people. In verse 7, Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. And then one of his disciples, Andrew Simon, Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here with five barley loaves and two small fishes, but what are they among so many? I was reading that, and it just come across my mind. I just wonder if that's not a little sarcasm. Lord, what are you going to do with this, that? And I wonder sometimes if we're not the same way. We throw out something to God like He can't do it. God can do anything, and He can do all things. Just something to think about there. But what we're looking at this morning, John 6:15 says, when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take Him by force to make a king, He departed again into a mountain Himself alone. Verse 16, and when even was now come, His disciples went down into the sea, and He entered into a ship and went over the sea towards Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew, so that when they rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. Verse 20 says, but He saith unto them, it is I, be not afraid. Verse 21, then they willingly received Him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. Let's pray. Father, I ask You again, God, this morning, God, to help me. God, I need something this morning, God, that only You can give. And Lord, I pray this morning, God, that, Lord, that You'd move in our midst this morning. God, I rejoice. I thank You, Lord, for what You have done. And God, what You are doing, Lord, I know, God, You're not stopping. You're not quitting. But God, I ask You this morning, God, to take us, God, this feeble old man, God, I pray, Lord, this morning, God, that You would stir our souls. God, help us to see this truth this morning, God, in such a way. God, You've burned it through my heart many times over these last couple of days, Lord, and I pray, God, that You'd help me this morning, God, just to be the messenger. You know every need this morning. There's probably some here today. God, if the truth will be known, God, if You was to come today, they're not ready. Lord, I pray they'd be ready before they leave this place. But, Lord, I'm sure today there's many of us, God, that would say that we're ready. Lord, we're looking, Lord, for you to come in any moment. But God, I'm just asking you, Lord, to help us to abide until you come. God, help us to be steadfast. Help us to be unmovable. Help us to be always abounding. And Lord, I just ask you again, Lord, for not our sakes and not for our glory, but for your glory. God, would you just manifest yourself here today, Lord. Touch hearts. Lord, be with our young folks. God is there in their different classes this morning around about us. I pray for the teachers and workers there. Lord, would you please, God, just help them today. And Lord, we'll thank you. We'll praise you for what you do here in this day. For us in Christ's name, I do pray. Amen. You can be seated this morning. And again, we just to bring this story back to our mind, the Lord here feeds that 5,000 plus women and children there and does a great work. And we know that he makes this statement here in verse number 15 that he perceived that they would come and take him by force, and he didn't want that. It wasn't his time yet. He was heading to the cross. We know that. And he draws away from them because, and again, there's so much here we could talk about man. But he draws himself away from there, and his disciples are gone away from him now. And the Bible says there in verse number 17 that they entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew, so that when they had rowed about 25 and 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh to the ship, and they were afraid. So here's the disciples. They've left Christ. Christ is still there on the mountain. They're heading to the other side. And they get out here in this sea, and the sea begins to roll, and the winds got up, and the boat was rocking, and I'm sure there was a lot of distress at that moment. And so we see here the disciples are out in this sea on the storm there. And I want to draw that thought into our minds this morning. Listen, we're out into this world, amen. There is trouble. There is turmoil. There are storms. There's ups. There's downs. And what I want to look at this morning is this fact of what I see here. And if you just picture these disciples here that day, they were out in this storm without who? Without Jesus. Now this morning, I wonder this morning, I'm sure that when you got up this morning, your preparations were in front of you to get ready to come to church. You put everything on and put everything in its place, and here you are. But I wonder this morning, how much effort did we put in to the fact of making sure that Christ was with us? Now, preacher, you know what the Bible says. The Bible says there in John or Hebrews chapter 13 that he said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Is that not what he said? That's truth. The Bible also says in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24, it says, he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Now, I know that to be truth. Again, that verse in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 says, he says, I will never leave thee. That's what he says he'll do. But that doesn't change the fact that just because he's here with you, that you're here with him. Let that sink into your mind just a moment. I know that when I got saved, Christ moved into me. I know that he indwells this being. But just because he indwells me doesn't mean that I've put my trust and my full faith in him to give him the steering wheel of my life. This morning, I wonder, as we see the disciples here this day on this sea of turmoil and without Christ, I wonder this morning, and again, I mentioned we preached on that truth of hell. We preached on that truth of the Lord's return. But church, this morning, we must get back to the fact, as Paul said, for me to live is Christ. This morning, church, we need Christ. I know this morning that in the day and hour that we live in, there's men of God, and I prayed this morning again as I sat there. I prayed this morning when I arose out of my bed to the Lord to give me help today, because I know that it's so easy to get up here and preach out of my own flesh. It's easy to stand before a Sunday school classroom and teach out of our own knowledge and wisdom. It's another thing to get up and preach or teach or sing or even sit in the pew this morning knowing that Christ is in charge of my life. Paul said again, for him to live was Christ. And this morning, I wonder this morning in our daily walk with Christ, how important is it to know that Christ is with us? Again, he promises he'll never leave you. He promises he'll be closer than a brother. He will do that, but what will you do? Many times I believe that we've gone to the place that we go through the form and fashions of a church service. We go through the form and fashion of ministry, and we go through the form and fashion as saying we're Christians, but we truly have not put on the whole armor of God. See, the key of the whole armor of God is the fact that you got to put it on. It does no good to have the armor of God in your trunk. It does no good to know what the armor of God is. I've talked with men. I've seen people. I can't imagine you military guys carrying all that weight. Put on a vest that will save your life, a helmet that will save your life, especially in the war that we're in today in the desert, hundreds of degrees, and you're going to put all this garb on. Oh, nothing will happen to me today. I'll not put on my vest. I'll not put on my helmet. I'll not take all my gear. I'll take my backpack and lighten it up. Because once you make that decision and you're out to wherever you're going and you need something that you didn't put into that place, you're not going to have it. But how many of us today, knowing the armor of God that God has laid out for us and told us daily to put this on, have got so accustomed that, well, the devil didn't hurt me yesterday. Well, the devil didn't hurt me last week. I don't need to put that on. I've got this. You see what I'm saying? We, as children of God, need to understand the need of Christ in our lives. It's more than salvation. There's a relationship there. If you do not have that, you don't know what you're missing. So I see here again that the disciples were on that ship that day without Christ. I made reference to this last Sunday, I think it was. Over in Judges chapter 16, when Samson there at the very end of his life, as he's laid and wallowed in this world, he loses his strength and the Philistines come and he jumps up and he goes out to fight just like any other day. And the Bible makes a terrible statement there about Samson in verse number 20, where it says there that Samson didn't even know that the Lord wasn't even with him. He'd seen God work so many times, but this time wasn't there. I wonder this morning how many days of our lives, if we could really see how many days of what God could have done if we'd just allowed God to have that preeminence in our life. And again, listen to me. This is such a key. It's daily. Every day you have to make a spiritual decision. I know that when I'm saved, I'm saved. I know that. I know I'm not going to lose my salvation. I know that I have eternal security. I know that. But is Christ not more than just my eternal security? This morning, church, I believe there's some things that we could see this morning that if we would just understand that I need to make as much in the morning as I know I need to get up and physically take care of some things. My mother, my goodness, she has got to the place where, buddy, I don't care where she is. She could be halfway through a sentence. If it's 5 o'clock, oh, I got to go take my medicine. It's like, I believe if you took it at 5:05, it'd be all right. No, she's got in such a regimen. It's got to be at that time. What about us spiritually this morning? As much in the morning as I know that, and it takes me a while to get moving in the morning now lately, but I'm going to get up and I'm going to drag myself from the bed to the bathroom to do all the things that I need to do there, to drag myself into the kitchen to eat a little bit of something so I can take my medicines and those things. But as much as I get in a habitual way of doing that, should I not find a place to understand that today I'm going to need Christ? I don't want to find myself somewhere today and wonder where Christ is in my life. I look at great men of God, and I think about Sheffy. I think about a statement he made in that movie that we watched about Sheffy. A great, great movie if you've never seen it. Great man of God. But he makes that statement. He says, some things you just don't have to pray about. Why? Because if you have a spiritual communion with God 24/7, it's just like breathing. Who's telling you to breathe right now? You're not doing it. Who's telling your heart to beat? You're not doing it. It's just doing it. And I believe if we truly would get into to the place of living with Christ in such a way, it would be just like that. Reading our Bible would not be a have to. It'd be I get to and I want to. Praying would get to the place where it's just a natural part of my day. Boy, I like my private time of prayer. I like getting away from the sounds of this world and just praying, but I don't just pray then. I talk to the Lord all the time throughout the day. But this morning, be careful not to find yourself without Christ. We need, and I put not that we need, no, we must have Christ. Everything that I can or hope to be is in Christ. Let me show you some things this morning that I find here about these men when Christ was not on the ship. The very first thing I find here this morning, notice the timing. The Bible says there in verse number 17 that it was dark. You realize this morning that if you're saved this morning, now if you're not saved, you need Christ. You need to get saved. But if you're saved this morning, the Bible tells us that we are not children of the dark. We're children of the light. And here, without Christ, there is no light. Why? Because He is the light. Amen. So I find here this morning that as these disciples here are on this ship without Christ, they're in darkness. And many times I believe we're not able to be the light that we need to be because our light is Christ, but we've had our light hid through our flesh and the desires of this world, that we are in darkness just as these disciples. And I don't like darkness. If you're a saved person, you shouldn't like darkness. The Bible teaches, we'll say more about light tonight in the service tonight, but light, they're in the dark. In darkness, there's a feeling of hopelessness. When you're in the trueness of darkness and there's no light about you, there becomes that feeling of hopelessness. And I'm afraid that many times because we're not having a daily walk with Christ, because we're not a communion daily with the Lord, we find ourselves in darkness. And in that, we look around about us and get discouraged and defeated because we feel like, what's the use? But when we're in Christ, and we are, and the light of Christ is in us shining forth, we look beyond what we see here because He commands us to look on heavenly things. In that darkness also, I feel like there's a place of no truth because you can't tell what's what. See, this morning we live in such a day of falsehood. There, even from the realms of religion, we are being bombarded. People are being taught today. And boy, I thank God that for now, we still have men and women that are diligently teaching and preaching the truth. You'll be amazed today of people that are hearing false. This Bible has told us that it's sharper than a two-edged sword. It's very dangerous. I told a man one time, I said, I can make the Bible say about anything you want to hear. You can snip verses here and snip verses there to pretty much make anything you want to say. But I'm glad this morning that God, through Christ, through the Spirit of God, teaches us unto all truth. But without Christ, there'd be no truth. So this morning, we need truth. We need light. They were in darkness. And then lastly, with that thought of them in darkness, in darkness, it's hard to find direction. I'll tell on myself, many years ago, I was 15 or 16 years old. Me and a buddy of mine was deer hunting. We got out way before daylight. I just like to get out there way before daylight. We didn't have deer stands. We were really in a bad way. I thought I knew those woods better than I thought than I did. I said, you sit right here. I'm going to go on down here. And I mean, it was thick. It was thick. I set him down right there, and I began to walk. And walk. Making my way through all the darkness. Didn't have a flashlight because I didn't want to scare the deer off. So I'm just working my way through the dark woods. All of a sudden, I see a guy sitting over there. Like, I wonder who that is. Guess who it was? It's the guy I left. I done made a big old circle and come right back to where I started from. Why? Because I was walking around in darkness. And I'm afraid a lot of times we that are supposed to be the hope for our world today, because Christ has entrusted that glorious gospel into this vessel, that we've gone out into this world and left Christ. He don't leave me, but we do leave Him. And because of that, I find myself feeling like hopeless and falsehood, but direction. But when I have light, when I have Christ, I can see. And I know what Christ is doing, and I'm directed by Christ. So I see that these men here are found to be in darkness. This morning, if you're without Christ, you are in darkness. Notice, second of all, this morning, not only do I find that they were in darkness, but look at verse number 18. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. Not only was they in darkness, but they were getting ready to be bombarded with the wind and the storm. And this morning, what power there is in winds. You look, I mean, we're steadily into this season of thunderstorms. And we just had 2 weeks ago now, above our house, another tornado come through and just totally devastated up around Courtney where we live. Many, many houses destroyed, all by the power of wind. Can I say this morning, wind is something you can't see. Wind is something you can't tell where it's coming from or going to. Even Christ Himself illustrates the Spirit as that. There in John chapter 3, but here we find that these disciples on this ship without Christ are in darkness and also being bombarded by the powers of wind, and wind drives. Wind damages. And wind will cause you to drift. And see, this morning I wonder how many times in our life have we got up and hurried ourselves out today. You're saved. Again, this is preaching to the church this morning. You're saved. You're going to heaven when you die. But are you spending time with Christ to live and to walk with Christ day in and day out, so that you have that light and you have that direction and you have that stability, that when the winds of this world blow, it doesn't knock you off your feet. It doesn't blow you off course. See, without Christ, there'll be no stability in your life. You'll be drifting across this world, this here at one moment, gone the next. And boy, I see that a lot in people today. And you're here this morning. Thank God you are. But look around us at all the empty pews. Where's everybody else? This is just one day out of seven. One moment of 7 days. I need to be with Christ tomorrow, the next day, every day. I'm saying this morning, we need to get a hold of the fact of the need of having Christ so that I can see, so that I can walk in this wicked world that we're in. So I see the truth of being without Christ, and I'm afraid many, and again, not saying Christ is a liar by no means, because Christ said He'd never leave us. Even though you don't have Christ, Christ has you. You have to make a choice of you let Him direct your life. There's another truth here that I'm so thankful for this morning. There is hope. We find in verse number 19 of a great truth here that as these men were rowing and the winds were embarking and as things were looking very grim in their lives, we see this great truth as they rowed, the Bible says that Christ came to them. This morning I'm glad that even though you might have left Christ at home today, as you might get up in the morning and say, well, I got to get up and get going and there's a lot to do today, and you don't read your Bible, you don't pray, you don't, throughout your day, you're not concentrating on, and again, I know you got to work, and I believe with all my heart, when you're at work, you need to work. But even as you work, you can still be the light of Christ. We looked at Joseph the other Wednesday night, and what a great picture of a man that's even a slave, but he was honoring God through his service. You don't have to be like this world. You don't have to act like this world. Well, preacher, they'll talk about me. They'll probably talk about you anyway. We see Christ coming to where they are. And I'm saying this morning, can I tell you this morning, that if you want Christ, you can have Him. In the morning, if you get up and desire Christ to be preeminent in your life, He will be. Let me throw this out here to knock some of these soothsayers of our day. Even with Christ in your boat, there'll still be storms. Don't think that, well, I guess I messed up. I had a bad day. No. Even the disciples, remember, he was asleep in the hinder part of the boat and the ship was getting ready to sink. So you're going to have storms of life. You're going to have problems and trials and troubles. But I'll show you another truth here in a moment. We see that Christ will come. The question is, do you want Him? I know you need Him. But do you want Him? Look at verse number 19, when Christ comes, here's something that will happen. It happens to me. It happens to you. When we find our place in life that we realize that we haven't been diligently walking with Christ and Christ comes to our side, notice that as He came, they were afraid. Do you know that's what a lot of people right now, you're afraid? Throw your hands up and say, I'm yours. You're afraid what Christ will do in your life. You're afraid you're going to have to give something up that you like, that your flesh desires. You're afraid what others might think or say. You're afraid of what your family might throw out at you. But if you really believe that you need Christ, I'd be willing to let somebody talk about me. I wouldn't worry about what they said. Why? Because I know what I need. I know what they need. But they are afraid, and this morning, I'm afraid many people never allow Christ to have that place in their life because they're afraid they might have to change, and you will. They're afraid that they might have to give something up, and you will. They're afraid what others might say. They're afraid of the commitment they might make. But again, I promise you, it'll be worth it all. So we find these disciples that day in the dark, in the storm. Christ comes and they're afraid. But can I say this morning, look at what he says. He said, "It is I. Be not afraid." Well, what comfort. As Brother Poplin sung that song, I was thinking of my mom is still alive, but I was thinking about my grandma. What comfort that brought to my heart to hear him sing that song. And I know the physical side, but I was thinking about the spiritual side of it. To hear that comforting words that, boy, when and there's nothing, you know, when you're scared or when you're feel like all hope is gone, and out of nowhere comes that little voice. Don't be afraid. It's I. Let me show you verses over in Isaiah. Look over in Isaiah chapter 43 right quickly. Again, I know you need him, but do you want him? Isaiah 43, verse 1 says, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine." See, this morning, that's the reason I have the hope that I have. It's the reason I have the peace that God gives me, because I know I'm his. Verse 2 says, "When thou passest through the waters," notice what he says, "I'll be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Sabaea for thee." Look at verse number 4. "Since thou wast precious in my sight." See, this morning, you're precious to the Lord. He wants to help us. He wants to walk with us. He wants to encourage us. He wants to strengthen us. So then why do we say, "No, Lord, you have your place. You're my fire insurance. But I want to be more. I want to hold you. I want to get you through these rough days. I want to give you the strength that I know that you're going to need." Oh, no. I don't need that. But when you find yourself in that place, what's the first thing you do? Oh, God. Would it not have been a lot easier just to know that he was there? And that he was walking with you? And he was holding you? So this morning, I know we need Christ. But do you want him? Christ came. They were afraid. He tells them not to be afraid because it was him. Then notice verse 21. This is your choice this morning. Then they, notice the key words here, willingly received him into the ship. This morning I know without a doubt that my God is a gentleman. God will never force himself on anyone. This morning, God will come to you just as he came to them. You have to make a choice. Come in, stay out. Tomorrow morning, God's going to get up with you, and you're going to get up, and you're going to have to make a conscious choice to have Christ or not. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about your life as you go throughout your day. I know you need him, but do you want him? And they willingly receive Christ this morning. That's our hope. This morning, if you're not saved, you can willingly receive him. If you want him, you can have him. We that are saved this morning, he says, "I'll never leave you." He's here this morning. He says, "I'm a friend that sticketh closer to the brother." He'll never forsake you. But this morning, if you will willingly receive him, he'll take control of your life. And as you go through the ups and downs, you can have that peace. You can have that comfort of knowing that Christ is there. And then notice last of all this morning, and I'm done, that when Christ was on the ship, The Bible says, verse 21, then they willingly received him into the ship. And again, this isn't some misprint. This isn't some coincidence. This isn't some foreign thought. It says, when they willingly received him into the ship, notice how things instantly changed. Before, if you look back at verse number 19, they had rowed about 5 and 20 or 30 furlongs, which what little bit that I could find, it looks like that they had come about halfway across where they were going. In darkness, in a storm. But when Christ is willingly received into their ship, notice what takes place. And immediately. What does that mean? That's better than instant taters, man. You ain't got to microwave it. You ain't got to prepare it. As soon as Christ had entered the ship, the Bible says immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. I'm done with this. Me and David Leslie talked about it. Then he come in here to pray. Me and Miss Karen talked about it. If you're saved this morning, and I hope you are. If you're not, you need to get saved. If you're saved this morning, when we truly understand that Christ is in us, the Bible teaches us that He has put us, we are immediately in Christ, and we are immediately put into a heavenly place. Do you realize right now, as I'm standing here, as you're sitting here, I'm as good as in heaven. But preacher, there's problems. What does that have to do with my heavenly place? This is what the Bible says. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 6 says, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Immediately when he was in their ship, they had light, they had hope, they had truth, they had direction, they had no fear, and immediately they were right where they were supposed to be. This morning, if you will willingly receive Christ, to understand that every day of our lives we must have Christ, you'll realize, you know, this stuff that happens around about us don't really matter. But preacher, it's hard. Well, of course it's hard. But is there anything too big for our God? No. Colossians says it like this in chapter 3, verse 1. It says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. That's truth. That's at your disposal. The thought is, do you live in that realm, or do you live in the fleshly realm? This morning, I'm afraid many times we have found ourselves out and about in our life without Christ. Again, I know we need Him. But that doesn't make the choice of wanting Him. I must have Christ. You can go through this world saved and not let Christ have full reigns of your life. Happens all the time. And you'll find yourself in darkness in the midst of a storm. But when you have Christ, and Christ is in your ship, and Christ is driving your ship, you'll find out you have truth and direction and guidance, and you'll find peace. And before you know it, you'll realize, hey, we're right where God wants us to be. This morning, can you say that this morning? Let's stand together.